Let us come before God in prayer. Holy God, you're the joy of the universe. As we worship in separate places but together in one spirit, may each of us pray for the blessings of the others. Bless us all with enough living water to quench our thirst, rejuvenate our spirits, and prepare us for living in the week ahead. As followers of the living Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, it never ceases to amaze me that when life throws us a curveball, the scriptures that were offered by the lectionary are perfect for that occasion. Here we are at the beginning of a pandemic, a time of great anxiety, a time of caution and concern. And both our scriptures talk about the very ordinary experience of thirsting for water and quenching our thirst. We meet Jesus tired, sitting alone in the full midday sun, turning to a Samaritan woman and saying, "Give me a drink." And in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were wandering through the desert, and they're fearing for their lives and demand of Moses, "Give us water to drink." For many, the gospel story of the woman at the well is a favorite. To fully understand the power of the gospel story, we need to remember some context. For Jesus, a male and a Jew, to speak to a Samaritan woman was incredibly blasphemous. Jews simply did not speak to Samaritans because they were viewed as impure. Further, every God-fearing Jewish man prayed every morning, "I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile or a woman." So talking to a Samaritan woman was a double whammy. But there's even more going on in this story. Other local women would have gathered at the well in the cool of the early morning, chatting and laughing together. And they would be there again in the shade of evening, exchanging the gossip of the day. But this woman makes the journey alone, to avoid scornful glances and barbed words that have bruised her in the past. The midday heat was preferable to the mockery of her village sisters. This woman is among the most despised of the despised, the most untouchable of the untouchables, the most unloved of the unlovable. And Jesus tells us she's had 5 husbands and is living with a 6th. This means she's either been widowed 5 times, but it's more likely that she's been divorced 5 times. In that time and culture, to have been widowed was understood to be as cursed from God. To be considered blessed, a woman needed to be A, married, and B, producing children. In either case, this didn't work out. It was believed that God was punishing the woman. More likely, though, this woman had probably been divorced 5 times. Again, in this context, men held almost all the rights to divorce and could ditch their wife on the smallest of pretexts, leaving her exploited, rejected, disgraced, without status or value in the community. So in this story, Jesus broke all the rules and crossed all the boundaries. Jesus knew the labels and boxes that limit this woman, those titles that have diminished and belittled her with time. But Jesus doesn't see a scandal or a disgrace. He sees a person, created in the image of God, and desperately in need of living water, of love, mercy, grace, and intimate communion. I once saw a sign that stated, "We are all humans until race disconnected us, religion separated us, politics divided us, and wealth classified us." God sent Jesus into the world to show us a different way, a way of overcoming the dehumanizing trends of the world. Through Jesus, we're reminded that God loves us. God loves us unconditionally without any hidden motives or agendas, with no strings attached. There is no because. Not because of who we are or because we've cleaned up our acts. Not because we've said or done the right thing, just God loves us. The grace of God is a love so huge it defies explanation. So as we move through the next few weeks, we too need to look at our neighbors, seeing beyond any labels or boundaries, and seeing all people we meet as beloved children of God, each and every one wanting, needing connection, to be known and to be loved. Investing in people and showing them we care can make a world of difference. I remember years ago visiting a great aunt in a senior's home. I didn't see her very often. She was in England, and we only visited every 5 or 6 years. And so I sit down in this senior's home, and in walks this little old lady, and she shuffles in, taking little inch-by-inch steps. And she sits down, and then finally I convince her that she's met me before, and remind her of a time we shared together. And then we spent an hour chatting and catching up and sharing family histories. And it was interesting because after that hour, when she had to get up and go for a meal, she got up and she strode out of that room, big striding steps. And I realized that all of a sudden, she knew that someone knows me, someone loves me, and that made all the difference. Recognizing that we're beloved sets us free to be people we were created to be. So as a community, I ask each of you to consider reaching out to our seniors or others that are isolated and anxious in this time. Through your time and attention, you can give them the gift of feeling known, worthwhile, and loved. So turning to Moses now, we heard that when the Israelites grumbled wanting water in the desert, he took his staff and struck a rock, providing water for the people. And while that in itself is a little miracle, it sits within a much larger miracle. Years earlier, Moses fled as a fugitive from Egypt. He'd fled to the desert to hide. For all intents and purposes, Moses became like a Bedouin tribesman. He learned to speak the Bedouin languages and developed an understanding of what it meant to call the desert home. He learned who to trust and who to fear. He learned what to trust and what to fear. He learned where it was safe to travel and where it was not. In many respects, Moses became God's apprentice, learning the geography of the desert and how to live off the land. The desert was sort of a finishing school for his leadership training. So when the people of Israel needed to flee from Egypt and be led through the wilderness, God had provided the right person in the right place at the right time with all the right gifts and skills to bring them to new life. So yes, it's a miracle that this rabble group of ex-slaves grow thirsty and God quenches their thirst, giving them water flowing from a rock. But the even greater miracle is that God knew who they were. God knew what they needed to preserve life in its fullest sense, and God provided for them. And I think we need to be reminded of this today, because God brought the Israelites out of slavery through the wilderness to the promised land. And whenever they were exiled, God helped them return home. Whenever they needed reform, God sent them a new prophet. And when they needed a new way to live, God sent Jesus. So here we are today, and we face a pandemic, and it's natural that many of us are afraid. Yes, it's scary, but we also know it's not the first crisis that humanity has faced. 72 years ago, famous Christian writer C.S. Lewis was writing about the anxiety and fears of the atomic bomb, and he reminded people that our British ancestors of the 16th century survived the plague visiting them almost every year. And if that didn't get them, the Viking raiders from Scandinavia pillaged and plundered on a regular basis. Our grandparents and parents survived 2 world wars and a worldwide depression. We face challenges and events that threaten our existence on a daily basis, but that doesn't mean we stop living. Facing our potential challenges, to quote C.S. Lewis, "Let the crisis, when it comes, find us doing sensible things and human things. It need not dominate our minds." As people of faith, we can look back through our faith stories and our histories and see that God always works towards preserving life. In every crisis, there's been the right person in the right place at the right time with the right gifts and skills to bring new life. So hang in there. Reach out for comfort and support if you would benefit from it. Find ways to nourish your soul while trying to keep your body as healthy as possible. And know that the God of love is still there, knowing us, loving us. The challenge of our world feels daunting right now, but I firmly believe that God is with us. We're not alone. Somewhere in the world right now, I believe that God is grooming the right person in the right place at the right time with those right gifts and skills to bring us through this crisis to new life. So friends, may we embrace our identity as children of God, and may it make all the difference as we go to live and love God's world. Amen. I'd invite you to come before God with prayer. We thank you, O God, that you have given us an enduring hope, one which cannot disappoint us or mislead us. We thank you that through our faith in you, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you enter into every heart and make in us new lives, even when they're torn asunder by the darkness of this world. O God, we pray for those who've lost hope and for those who've never had it. Grant to us and to those we lift before you in our hearts a new and binding, abiding vision of what you have done, what you are doing and what you will do to save and redeem your people and indeed creation itself. Grant, O God, that all might see and believe and discover their purpose and the purpose of all that is and that is yet to be. In this time of COVID-19, we pray, when we aren't sure, God, help us be calm. When information comes from all sides, correct or not, help us to discern. When fear makes it hard to breathe and anxiety seems to be the order of the day, slow us down, God. Help us to reach out with our hearts when we can't touch with our hands. Help us to socially connect when we have to be socially distant. Help us to love as perfectly as we can, knowing that perfect love casts out fear. God, we pray for doctors and nurses. We pray for the technicians and janitors, the aides and the caregivers. We pray for the researchers and theorists, the epidemiologists and investigators. We pray for those who are sick and those who are grieving. We pray for all who are affected around the world. We pray for safety, for health, for wholeness. We say a special prayer today for those who continue to provide services like cashiers and stockers of shelves, for all those who continue to work while others reap the benefit of physical distance. We give thanks. For those who are stranded at a distance and those disappointed with canceled travel plans, we ask for patience, guidance, and understanding. May we as people of faith heed the call of Jesus to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, and house those without homes. May we walk with those who feel they're alone. May we do all that we can to heal the sick in spite of the epidemic, in spite of the fear. Help us, O God, that we might help each other. In the love of the Creator, in the name of the Healer, in the life of the Holy Spirit that's in all and with all, we pray. Amen. So friends, as we leave this time of worship, being offered once more to restore and refresh living water from Jesus, may we remember to live simply, love generously, but care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. May we go from this time in the power of God's love, with Jesus as our constant companion and the Holy Spirit our constant guide. Amen.